The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Gittin Daf Ches, and we are 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Tanachada, we learned it a brisa, maybe get besfina. If somebody brings a get from a boat, so there's a man on a boat, he gives, he appoints a shliach loilacha to bring a get to his wife who's in Eretz Yisrael. So the brisa says, Kenevi b'Eretz Yisrael. It's as if he brought the get from Eretz Yisrael. He does not have to say, b'fanai nechta v'b'fanai nechta. V'tanya, they're going to another brisa, Kenevi b'chutz l'aretz. That if somebody brings a get from a boat, it's as if he brought it from chutz l'aretz. So we have an apparent steer. Now Rashi says, v'kasol g'daitach, that's pashit, that the Gemara in the Havamina thinks, the b'nahore is the Eretz Yisrael kamar. That both brises are discussing a river or a boat that was in a river in Eretz Yisrael. Because if the river itself was a chutz laretz, then certainly it would be no better than hamevi get me chutz laretz l'Eretz Yisrael that you would have to say, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. The Bryce is discussing someone who brought a get from Eretz Yisrael, but he wasn't on dry land, but rather it happened from a svina that was inside a nahar. And the question is, the nahar is of Eretz Yisrael. Are they treated like Eretz Yisrael? Thus, you would not have to say b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta, or are they treated like chutz laretz? So that you do have to say b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. We have a steer. One Bryce says, kemevi b'Eretz Yisrael. Another Bryce says, kemevi b'chutz laretz. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? The two brises are the opinions of two different Tanoim. Tonight we went to the Mishnah, Afar Chutz Laretz, Haba Besfina Laretz. Somebody took Afar dirt from Chutz Laretz, he put it on a boat. The boat is now in the seas of Eretz Yisrael. Chaya B'Maisru B'Shvia. So the Tanakama, the Chachamim in this Mishnah say that anything that grows from that offer, despite the fact that the offer was originally from Chutz Laretz, and despite the fact that it's only in a Nahar in Eretz Yisrael, still Yechayev and Meiser and Shvius Midai Raisa. And the reason is because we assume that the offer that's in the boat is being Yoinek from the land that's underneath the Sea of Eretz Yisrael. That area is treated as if it were Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, this offer has been yonik from Eretz Yisrael. You're going to be chayev in Meisr and Shvius. Rashi says we're talking about a very specific boat. It's a svina that was made out of cheres, earthenware. And based on the physical nature of a svina shel cheres, it is able to be yonik, meaning the boat itself is not mafsik between the koyach hayanika of the Eretz and the offer that's inside the boat. And as a result, you'll be chayev in Meisr and Shvius. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda argues, Emes ad bezman shel svina kecheshes. That's only true if the boat is not on the water, but it's actually sitting in the mud. It's in the ground that's underneath the Nahar. But if it's not Gesheshes, Potter, you're going to be Potter. In other words, it would seem to be a machloikis if somebody has Afar Chutz Laretz in a boat which is in the Nahar of Eretz Yisrael, and something grows. Is it Chayev in Meisr and Shvius? Is it not Chayev in Meisr and Shvius? The Chachamim said, Yechayev in Meisr and Shvius. Rabbi Yehuda said, only if it was Gesheshes. But if it wasn't Gesheshes, he wouldn't be Chayev in Meisr and Shvius, says the Gemara. Or said Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's the teretz to the stira in these two brises. The brises that says maybe get besfina can maybe Eretz Yisrael. That's going according to the Tanakhama that holds the Naharos are Eretz Yisrael le'inyan Meister and Shvius. Just like it's Eretz Yisrael in your Meister and Shvius, so too it's going to be Eretz Yisrael le'inyan da'alacha b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta. The brisa that says, maybe b'chutz l'aretz is Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda said the only time the Naharos are considered Eretz Yisrael if it was Geisheshes, but if it's not Geisheshes, it's not considered Eretz Yisrael. Thus, the second brisa is talking about where it was not Geisheshes, it's not considered Eretz Yisrael. That's why you do have to say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechta. Says the Gemara, Abaye Amar, Abaye said a different teretz. You could say, Haba Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to say that the two brises are of two different shitas hatanon, but rather you could say that both prices are Rabbi Yehuda v'le kasha kam bezmanch in asvina geshashes kam bezmanch in asvina geshashes. The price that says you don't have to say b'fanai nechta because the nahar is treated like Eretz Yisrael is talking about when it was geshashes. Because even Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah agrees emosai bezmanch in asvina geshashes. Then yichay v'maisur shvius. Then it is treated like Eretz Yisrael. If it's Eretz Yisrael, you don't say b'fanai nechta. The Brisa that says you do have to say b'fanai nechtav is talking about when it was not Geisheshes. If it's not Geisheshes, you're not chayv and meiser shvius. If you're not chayv and meiser shvius, you would have to say b'fanai nechtav. I'm Reb Zeiro. Reb Zeiro said otzitz nakov. If somebody has a flower pot and there's a little hole on the bottom of the flower pot, hamunach al gabi yaseidus, and it's standing on a stand, meaning it's not attached to the ground, but there's a little hole underneath the pot through which there is a koyach hayonika that can come from the ground into whatever is inside this flower pot. Says the Gemara, whether or not you would be chayev in Meiser and Shvias, Nida Iraisa, for the contents that's in this Otzitz Nakav, of course, assuming that it was an Eretz Yisrael. But we're telling the Machlekes Rabbi Rabbanon whether someone that has offer Chutz Laretz in a Svino, in a Nor, that's not Goy Sheshes in Eretz Yisrael, is Chayev in Meiser and Shvias Midei Raisa. How so? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that you're not Chayev in a Nor. The reason must be because the water, the nahar itself, is mafsik between the ground that's underneath the nahar and the offer that's in the actual svina. So just like the ground is considered a hefsik, so to the aver, in the case of the atzitz nakav, would also be considered a hefsik. So even though there is a koich hayanika, the water is mafsik, the aver is mafsik, you're not going to be chayiv. Whereas according to the Rabbanon, that say that you are chayiv in the nahar, as long as it's a svina shel cheres, the yanika goes through, we don't care about the fact that the water is in between, so to the aver wouldn't be an issue either in the case of atzitz nakav. But the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adomoloi, could be, it's not muchach that the two machloikesin are tolui zebezer. Could be, adkan, like come Rabbi Yehuda Asam, when did Rabbi Yehuda say that the nahar is mafsik elab svina? That's a boat that's in water, hasui levroyach, because the derech of a boat is for it to be moving. Being that it's moving, that's why we view the water as a hafsik. But a flower pot, which stays in one place, then maybe the avar is not considered a hafsik. Inami, or you can flip it. Maybe when did the Rabbanan say that the nahar is not a hafsik, and you are chayv and ma'is and shvias, elabesfina, the way mafsik avira? Because there's no ear in between the ground and the Sfina, what do you have? You have water. Water is not considered a hefsik. The Mayaki Arasmichta Daniel. Water we look as part of the ground. Aval Otzitz, the Mafsik Avira, but in the case of the Otzitz, where you have Aver, Aver is certainly not part of the ground. In other words, the Gemara said, Rava said, it's not muchach that this shayla of otzitz nakif amunach al gabi yaseid is Beretz Yisrael is telling the machlekes of Rishonim Rabbanon regarding offer chutz la'aretz that's in a sfina shal cheres in a nahar that's not goy sheshes. So the Gemara, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, going back to the original stira, if somebody's maybe get besfina, is it kemevi Beretz Yisrael or is it kemevi bechutz la'aretz? So one brayse said you do have to say befana nechtav, it's kemevi bechutz la'aretz, and one brayse said you don't have to say befana nechtav, it's kemevi Beretz Yisrael. A stira. So the Gemara so far had two ways to answer the stira. The first was Rabbi Yirmiyah, Leikasha HaRab Yehuda HaRabon. And the machlokes is whether the Naharois of Eretz Yisrael are treated like Eretz Yisrael or they're treated like Chutz La'aretz. Abaye said, Hava HaRab Yehuda, Kam be goysheshes, kam be ene goysheshes. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, he says a third teretz. Ben haharitz teretz Yisrael b'kulam aloi pligi. Had we been discussing, like the Gemara thought in the Havamino, naharitz that are in Eretz Yisrael, there would have been no machloikis. Everybody would agree that you don't have to say b'fanay nechta, because clearly the naharitz in Eretz Yisrael are treated as part of Eretz Yisrael. Ki pligi b'yam ha-godol. Machloikis was a very specific nahar, the Mediterranean Sea. And the shailah in this brice is whether the Mediterranean Sea is treated like Eretz Yisrael or is not treated like Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, we learned in a brayse, Zeu Oretz, Dezeu Chutz Laretz. What are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz? Now, it's a little confusing whenever you talk about boundaries of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. First of all, because boundaries is just a confusing topic. It's very technical in nature. And unless you have a real good handle on the geography of Eretz Yisrael or you have a nice 3D map in front of you, it's going to be confusing. But it's particularly confusing because whenever you talk about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, you have to know, do you mean the boundaries that were laid out in the Torah and the Psukim and Parshas Maaseh, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, these are going to be the Gvulim of Eretz Yisrael? Do you mean the boundaries that Yeshua ben Nun conquered when they actually entered the land? They didn't conquer necessarily everything that's mentioned in Parshas Maaseh. Are you referring to the boundaries that Ezra and the Ohel Bavel conquered many generations later? So there are stiras, but often it's related to, you have to understand the more general context, what exactly we're talking about. This Bryce is discussing the boundaries that I mentioned in the Torah. In Parshas Maaseh, with the original boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, what exactly Eretz Yisrael was supposed to be. So the Bryce says, what are the boundaries? So the Bryce is talking specifically about the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So to the west, the boundary is the Yam HaGadol, and that Rashi already brought in the Mishnah, not Bezim and Aleph. The Mishnah discussed that to the east it's Rekem, and to the north it's Akoi, to the south it's Ashkelon. The Mishnah didn't mention anything about what the boundary of Eretz Yisrael is to the west. Rashi said that the boundary is the Yam HaGadol, the Yam, the Mediterranean Sea. That is the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So that was already mentioned in the Torah Parshas Maaseh, and that didn't change to the times of the Chachmei HaMishnah. That was always constant. You didn't conquer the Mediterranean Sea. So it was always the boundary, the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael. But this price is going into more detail. So, to the west, it's Mediterranean Sea. But how far up north and how far down south? So it says the price on the northwestern corner of Eretz Yisrael, there were mountains known as the Turei Amnon. So from the Turei Amnon, traveling south would be part of Eretz Yisrael. From the Turei Amnon, going further north, that would already be outside the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Hanasin Shebiyam, what about the little islands that are in the Mediterranean Sea? So Roya Noisam Ki'ilu Chut Matuach Aleihem. What you do is you have to draw an imaginary line from the Turei Amnon, which is the northwestern border, this is confusing, ad Nachal Mitzrayim, down south to Nachal Mitzrayim, which is on the southwestern border of Eretz Yisrael. Minachut v'lefnim, anything that's inside that imaginary line is Eretz Yisrael. Minachut v'lechut, chutzlars. Anything that's outside that line is going to be considered chutzlars. So the western border is the Mediterranean Sea. How far up northwest? Turei Amnon. How far down southwest? Nachal Mitzrayim. What you do is you draw a line from Turei Amnon down to Nachal Mitzrayim. There's going to be some of the Mediterranean Sea to the inside of that line. The majority of it is going to be to the outside of the line. Anything that's inside that line, even though it's an island inside the sea, is going to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. Anything that's to the outside is going to be treated like Chutzlars. Rabbi Yehudaim, Rabbi Yehuda has a different mahalach. He says, Kol shekin neged Eretz Yisrael, hareyu ke Eretz Yisrael. He says, you don't draw this imaginary line, and anything that's to the outside of that imaginary line, far down the Mediterranean Sea, is treated like Chutzlars. No, what you do is, you draw lines, but the lines don't go from north to south, but rather the line is going to go towards the Atlantic Ocean, literally to the other side of the world. So you're going to take the Turei Amnon and you're going to draw a line as far as you can draw it, and you're going to go to the bottom down south and you're going to draw the line as far as you can go, and anything that's in between that line, even though it's miles and miles and miles away from Eretz Yisrael, is going to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sheneged Eretz Yisrael, Hareyu Keretz Yisrael. As long as it's within, corresponds to the width of Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Shalem and Hazrab, you don't know a shita, because the pasuk says, "V'gvul yam, v'hoyu lechem hayam hagadol, v'gvul ze yil lechem gvul yam." So it's a very redundant pasuk. V'gvul yam, v'hoyu lechem hayam hagadol, v'gvul ze yil lechem gvul yam. Says the Gemara, why do you need all these extra words to teach us that the hanasin shebitzdodim, that all the islands that are within these two gvulim, even though they're really far out in the Mediterranean Sea, are going to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. What's not considered part of Eretz Yisrael? Vanas and Shepet Stodim, the islands that are outside being directly correspondent to Eretz Yisrael. So how do you know what's outside, what's inside? So Roya Noisa Kilo Chut Matuach Aleim Mi Kapluria Vadyam Ukainis, Uminachal Mitzrayim Vadyam Ukainis, Menachut V'lefnim Eretz Yisrael, Menachut V'lechutz Chutzlar. So basically what you're doing is, according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're drawing imaginary lines. The question is the line going north-south, or is the line going all the way down, all the way out west, both from the northern border and from the south? Southern border. Again, without a picture, it's a little hard to visualize. According to the Chachamim, you're going to draw a line north to south. Anything that's inside of that line, close to Eretz Yisrael, is going to be part of Eretz Yisrael. So if there's any islands in that little area, it's part of Eretz Yisrael. Even though the islands are technically in the Mediterranean Sea, it doesn't matter. It's treated like Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, Eretz Yisrael goes out as far as you can possibly go. Where is it not Eretz Yisrael? Anything that's north of Kapluria. So according to the Chachamim, was Turei Amnon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Kapluria. That's the landmark. Anything that's south of Nachal Mitzrayim, that's not going to be considered Eretz Yisrael. How does Rabbi Yehuda know a shita? From the extra wording in the pasuk, V'gvul yam, v'hoyu lechem hayam hagadol, v'gvul zayir lechem gvul yam. It's a little confusing, but it's also redundant. And from the redundancy in that pasuk, we learn this halacha that no matter how far you are from Eretz Yisrael, it's still going to be treated like Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asks Rabbanan, hayu gvul mayavile. What did Rabbanan do with that extra words, the Gvul Yam, says the Gemara by Leila Nasan. It's to teach us the islands that are inside that chut, closer to Eretz Yisrael, that they're treated like Eretz Yisrael from Yehuda. Now, let's be clear, you don't need a pasuk for that. If it's so close to Eretz Yisrael, it's within that line, going from Turei Yamlin down to Nachal Mitzrayim, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. If there's a pasuk, it's to tell me a chiddush. Yeah, the chiddush is that you could be 100 miles away from Eretz Yisrael and still be considered like Eretz Yisrael. It's a very interesting Tosfos on this Gemara, where Tosfos says, Shah Rabbeinu Peter, Rabbeinu Tam, Yeshiva was Rabbeinu Peter, but I think it's Rabbeinu Peter, ask Rabbeinu Tam, that Bizman Azeh, us, Bali Tesfis and Rishonim that are living in Europe, we should be chayv in Trumas of Maestris, Midei Raisa. Because if you tell me that Eretz Yisrael extends itself all the way out west, as far as you can possibly go, as long as you're correspondent to Eretz Yisrael, so Skash is, why are we not chayv in Trumas of Maestris, Midei Raisa? And Rabbeinu Tam told Rabbeinu Peter, you're right, excellent Torah. However, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So had the halacha been like Rabbi Yehuda, then you'd be right. Europe would be chayv and trumas and ma'aseh midei raisa. The reason it's not is because the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, according to us, once you're outside that imaginary line going from north to south, right outside the border of Eretz Yisrael, you're not part of Eretz Yisrael anymore. But enochinami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be that be a chayv trumas and ma'aseh midei raisa. The ma'aseh Tosfos discusses this chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayv and trumas and ma'aseh midei raisa in France. Tosfos suggests different terutzim. Tosfos says that it could be the kedusha rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna really extended itself as far west as possible. But Kedusha Shniya was Toluy in the areas that Ezra and the Ilei Bavel conquered. And being that they never conquered that part of the world, it could be a never got Kedusha Shniya. Kedusha Rishayna is anyways, Kitchel Shaitav, Kitchel Asadlavai, any Chiyav Chumas of Maishas that we have as Man Azeh, is not because of Yeshua Ben Nun's Kedusha, it's because of Ezra HaSeifer's Kedusha. The Kedusha Shniya never included that area, and it could be it's for that reason that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be chayv in Trumas or Maestros. Another Chiddush Tosfos says that it could be even Rabbi Yehuda only argued that the Yam itself, the actual ocean, would be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. But once you go beyond the Atlantic Ocean and you come ashore, at that point it could be poshit that you won't be chayv in Trumas or Maestros. Just one other interesting Ha'ara, completely not related, that is that Tosfos said that we should be chayv, the Bali Tosfos, in Trumas or Maestros, Midday Raisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda anyways, because we're to the west of Eretz Yisrael. Where does this play itself out in halacha? Every day, three times a day. The Ramah says in Hilchas Tefillah, Simen Tzadik Aleph, and we daven, we face the east. Why do we face the east? The Ramah says, quoting the Bali Tais, because we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. I mean that we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. You're supposed to face east, so therefore you turn to Mizrach. So the whole Mizrach is all predicated on the same exact hanocha that Rabbeinu Peter made, the Rabbeinu Tam, which was that we're to the west of Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yishmi Chai B'Chumas Amaisis Medei Reis. So that's Tais's discussion, getting the Avchas Amar Aleph. A much simpler halacha is that when you daven Shmin Esrei, you face the east, because if you're to the west, then naturally, if you want to face towards Eretz Yisrael, you would face to the east. One other interesting aura, and that is, so you have the Yam HaGadol that's mentioned over here. So what's the Yam HaGadol? It's a pasuk in the Torah, Gvul Yam, V'hoyu Lechem HaYam HaGadol. It's referring to the Mediterranean Sea. There's a halacha, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Reish Chav Ches, and it's really a Mishnah, in Perek Haroi, Masech Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet, Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says that if somebody sees the Yam HaGadol, there's a special bracha that you're supposed to make. Yamin v'naharos har megvayos v'midbaros omer baruch ata Hashem l'keinu melech ha'olam oisem ma'aseh bereishis. I don't know if this is the Minhag Yisrael, but you know, we make an oisem ma'aseh bereishis maybe at the Niagara Falls or lightning, etc. There are times when people make the bracha, but the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, ask your local rabbi, al yamin v'naharos har megvayos v'midbaros. You're supposed to make the bracha of oisem ma'aseh bereishis. What's the definition of yamin v'naharos? So the Magen Avraham says that the four rivers that are mentioned in Parashas Bereishis and anything that's similar to those rivers. I did once see an interesting ha'ara from the Eshel Avram, the Bechut Sheruv, and he said that he thinks it's a chiddush that if you see a river today that's similar to those four rivers that you can make a bracha, because what's the bracha? Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis. Oysa Ma'aseh Bereishis is you're acknowledging the fact that Hashem created these naharos at the time of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. That's the kivun of Oysa Ma'aseh Bereshis. It's a reference to Bereshis Bara Lekim as the Shemayim Vesaretz. So he argued that it could be a nahar that you're going to see now, even if it's thousands of years old, it could be it dates back to the Mabul. Because once the Mabul happened, there was water all over the place. It's a Sufik Bracha. Said to him, the Magen Avraham's Psak, that you could just make this bracha, any nahar, the naharis that are mentioned in the Torah, so that you know the history, you know the origin of it. So certainly you can make a bracha, but for all naharis, he argues a little bit of a chiddush. But either way, the Mechaber continues and says, "Val hayam hagadol." That's the Mediterranean Sea. So if you see the Yam HaGadol, it's a halachat Shulchan Aruch, special bracha. You make the Oisei HaYam HaGadol. So Mishnah Berurah brings that there's a machlokes rishonim what the Yam HaGadol here means. The Mechaber says it's the Yam Sha'ovrim by Eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim. He's clearly describing the Mediterranean Sea. But there are other rishonim that disagree and they say it means the Atlantic Ocean. So is it the Atlantic Ocean or is it the Mediterranean Sea? Now, if it's the Atlantic Ocean and presumably the Pacific Ocean as well, you'd understand why it's the Yam HaGadol, because it's fairly large. If it's the Mediterranean Sea, it's not so gadol relative. So Davka, the Mediterranean, that's the Yam HaGadol. What, it's bigger than the Atlantic Ocean? Of course it's not. But it would be the Yam HaGadol because the borders are Eretz Yisrael. That gives it its chashivos. That's why it would be called gadol. So even though in the Torah the Yam HaGadol and our sugi the Yam HaGadol means the Mediterranean Sea, however, if you look at in Halacha, an interesting Halacha here in Simin Reish Chav Ches, where it's actually a discussion with regards to the definition of Yam HaGadol. Is the Yam HaGadol the Mediterranean Sea, or is the Yam HaGadol going to be the Atlantic Ocean? So to Gemara, Rameir Oimer, Akli Keretz Yisrael. So Rameir said the northern border of Eretz Yisrael is Akli. They asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba the following question. If somebody has an Eved Kanani and he sells it, so it was a secondary market for Avadim, he sells it to someone that's living in Surya. Now the halacha is that a person that owns an Eved Kanani is not allowed to sell it to someone that lives in Chutz Laretz. And the reason is because an Eved Kanani, although he's a guy, he's really a quasi-yid. We learned the sugyas together, Mesach Tzivomitz and Perek HaChayletz. He's a quasi-yid, and he has Hilchus Yisrael like a woman. Anything that a woman is chayiv in, he's chayiv, such as loisaseis and mitzvah saseis she'in azman grom. Anything that a woman's potter, an Eved Kanani is me potter from as well. If you sell an Eved Kanani to Chutz La'aretz, he's going to be forced to live in Chutz La'aretz. By forcing him to live in Chutz La'aretz, you're being mevatel from him a mitzvah saseh deiraisa of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's wrong, and as a result, the Chachamim gave a knas to the loikeach, and they said, you can buy it, close the deal, and then as soon as it closes, you're going to have to free him. So that's a knas to the loikeach who bought the Eved Kanani in Chutz La'aretz. So the shayla that was asked to Reb Chiya bar Abba was, what if someone's living in Surya, and he bought an Eved Kanani? Is as if he bought an Eved Kanani living in Chutz Laretz, he has to free the slave? Or does he not have to free the slave? Oh, Malahu, so he told him, Tinisua, I have a raya from a Mishnah. Rameyah says in our Mishnah, Akri Keretz Yisrael Legitin, that the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, with regards to Gittin, is Akri. Says the Gemara, Legitin in Ulav Adam Loi. It sounds like Akri is only treated like Eretz Yisrael in Hilchis Gittin, because of Svaras of Hamevi Getnim, Dina Sayam, the reasons why you say Befanei Nechtav. But with regards to this halacha, that if somebody sells an Evet to Chutz Laretz, presumably Akri is not treated like Eretz Yisrael. The Kolshkein Surya says, if Akri is not considered Eretz Yisrael regarding this halacha, Surya certainly wouldn't be the Mercha Ketuvah, because that's even further than Akri. So what exactly was Surya? So you have to know a little Tanakh to know the exact history of Surya, but the 32nd version of it is that David HaMelech at some point went out and started conquering lands simply because he wanted to expand Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't necessarily done al pi nevuah. It wasn't done for reasons such as Kivush Eretz Yisrael, which was for the Rabbim because the Yidden needed more land for them to be able to settle, such as what they did when they conquered the lands in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they conquered the lands in the time of Ezra. But this was considered for more personal reasons. The Gemara treats it as a kibush yachid. So when Yeshua ben Nun and Ezra, they conquered Eretz Yisrael, it was called a kibush rabbin, because it was done on behalf of the rabbin. The rabbin needed it, it was acting as a shliach of the rabbin. David HaMelech conquering the land of Syria, which by the way is Aram Tsoifa. It's Aram Tsoifa, it's near Syria, it's in that area. It's Syria. So that area was considered a kibush yachid, and being there was a kibush yachid, it's machloek is in the Gemara, whether it's treated like Eretz Yisrael or not. So it's in that context that the Shiloh was asked, if somebody sells an Evet to this land, Syria, which David HaMelech technically conquered, but at the same time it was a kibush yachid, shmei kibush, loy shmei kibush, is it if you sold it to Eretz Yisrael, or is it if you sold it to Chutz Laretz? So we mentioned the halacha of Surya, Meicher Ravdai, we'll see how it gets into the sugya of Amevi Get, so we have a little bit of a digression. With regards to three halachas, Surya is treated like Eretz Yisrael, regarding three halachas, it's treated like Chutz Laretz. Simen Av Barek. Afro Tomei Kechutz Laretz, with regards to its Afar being Tomei, it's treated like Chutz Laretz. We know that 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, by Yesheni, the Chachomim made a takona that Chutz Laretz is Tomei. So if somebody left Eretz Yisrael, he went to Chutz Laretz, he would be Tomei. This is something we talked about at length in Mesechtes Nazir. Nazir daf Yotes on the days, daf Chofam and Aleph. There's a sugya of someone's Mekabel Nezirus in Chutz Laretz. He has to go up to Eretz Yisrael and observe his Nezirus over there. Because Tumah is a stira, Tumas Meis, is a stira to Nezirus. And being that Chutz Laretz is always perceived to be Tomei, Tumas Eretz Amen. It's for that reason, if someone's Mekabel Nezirus in Chutz Laretz, he has to go up to Eretz Yisrael. We spoke then about the machlik is Rambam Ravid. What about Bizman Hazeh? The Rambam says, Bizman Hazeh, if someone says that Reini Nazir in Chutz Laretz, he has to make Aliyah, he has to go up to Eretz Yisrael and live the rest of his life in Eretz Yisrael. He can't conclude his Aziris because he can't bring the Karbanas. But at the same time, the halacha that a Nazir needs to be in Eretz Yisrael because Chutz Laretz is Tomei, that halacha still exists. The Ravid is Matmir on the Rambam. Says the Rambam, doesn't make sense. Bishloimo, once upon a time, where Chutz Laretz was Tomei and Eretz Yisrael was not Tomei. So it made sense. If someone was Mekabel Nezirus in Chutz Laretz, which is Tomei, go to Eretz Yisrael, where it's not Tomei. He says, but Bizman Hazeh Kulonu Tomei Mason. We're all Tomei Mason anyways. So if we're all Tomei Mason today, what's the difference if you're living in Chutz Laretz? What's the difference if you're living in Eretz Yisrael? So we spoke out, Briska Torah from Shulam David Alevi, B'Shem de Briska Rav. This was all Nazir Torah, Nazir Yotes Amid Beis, Nazir Abchaf Amid Aleph with regards to Afra Tomek Chutz Laretz. But the Afar of Surya was treated like Chutz Laretz. So when the Chachamim made the Takana, that if somebody goes to Chutz Laretz, he's Tomei, that Takana applied to Surya as well. Another halacha, l'mecha avdi l'Surya, if somebody sells his Zevi Kanani to a Yid that's living in Surya, k'mecha b'Chutz Laretz, as if he sold it in Chutz Laretz. But maybe get me Surya, if somebody brings a get from Surya to Eretz Yisrael, maybe Mechutz Laretz, he has to say, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtav. So those are three areas in halacha where Surya is treated like Chutz Laretz. U'b'shoish l'Eretz Yisrael, three places where Surya is treated like Eretz Yisrael. Chayeves b'maisru b'shvias l'Eretz Yisrael. It's chayven meiser and shvius like Eretz Yisrael. Va'aroitz likonis lo betahira. If somebody does want to go to Surya and not walk out tamei, there's a way to do it. Nichnas, you can't. We'll see in the Gemara how. Va'koinis sada b'Surya. And if somebody buys a field in Surya, kekoina b'parvara Yerushalayim. It's as if he's buying a field in the suburbs of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara explains these last three. Chayevis b'maisu b'shvius, yichayev b'maisu b'shvius, keretz Yisrael kusava kibush, yachad shmei kibush. That in the Ikra Din, the kibush of David HaMelech, despite the fact that it was a kibush yachad, was shmei kibush, and therefore it's considered like Eretz Yisrael. V'arayitz l'konis l'petahayra nichnas, if somebody wants to Eretz enter Surya and not be Tomei, he can't. Fake the Gemara of Amrit Afra Tomei. You just said that the offer is Tomei. So if it's Tomei, how could you enter B'tahira? So the Gemara answers from Nazir. We know this teretz already. B'shida teva migdal. No, it's possible. You can go in a wagon or in a box. The point is, it's possible to enter Eretz Yisrael without coming in contact with the offer of enter Surya without coming in contact with the offer of Surya. It's something that's possible. Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Nichlas Eretz Amim B'shida teva migdal. If somebody enters Eretz Amim B'shida teva migdal, Rabbi Metama. Rabbi says you told me. Rabbi Yisrael the Metar. He says you tar. The Filu Rabbi like Metama El Eretz Amim. Even Rabbi who was a machmer and said that if you enter Eretz Amim with a shita teva migdal, you're going to be Tomei. It was only Eretz Amim to Gazra Gush of Alavira. Because he believed that when the Chum said that Eretz Amim is Tomei, not only is the Gush, not only is the ground Tomei, but the Aver is going to be Tomei as well. See, even though you never touched the ground, you're in a shita teva migdal, still you're going to be Tomei. Abel Surya, but with regards to Surya, everyone's in agreement. Al Gush of Gazru, Alavira loy Gazru. So even though there is Tomas Eretz Amim, even according to Rebbe, that ordinarily Eretz Amim, even the Aver is Tomei, Surya is going to be different. And the last halacha mentioned was Vakoina Sadab Surya, Kikoina Bit Parvari Yerushalayim. Somebody buys a field in Surya, it's as if he bought a field in Yerushalayim. The Mai Hilchasa, with regards to what halach is that Megeya, Om Rav Sheshes said, Loimar, to teach us, Shekoisvin Olav Oinoi Vafilu Bishabas. That just like if you want to buy a field in Yerushalayim and you have a closing scheduled for Shabbos, you're allowed to close on Shabbos, even though it's going to involve Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. Kosev, which is one of the Lametas Malachis, Surya is the same way. That if you're buying a field in Surya, you're allowed to buy even on Shabbos. Freik the Gemara, b'Shabbos sol gedaitach k'debiya havamina, that you're allowed to buy a field in Eretz Yisrael and Surya even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's possible. You don't do it. You have your non-Jewish attorney close on your behalf. Achinami oimer lo'ev kechavim v'oisa, says the Gemara. Afal gavta amir lo'ev kechavim shvos, and even though amir la'akum, we know, was was aser. It's aser midrabanon mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael loy gazer rabanon. It's aser. However, here it's b'mokay mitzvah, and being that it's b'mokay mitzvah mishum yishuv eretz Yisrael loy gazer rabanon. So that's this halacha, that if somebody buys a field in Syria, it's as if he bought a field in Eretz Yisrael l'may nafkemina, where it's gonna be negeya, is this halacha. So there's really two things that we could speak out. I'm not sure if we're going to have time for both. So what we'll do is we'll speak out something that's maybe a little in Yonah D'Yoyma regarding Asar B'Tavis, and then part two, either we'll speak out tomorrow, we'll make it up another day. So we had the Gemara on Dav Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara said, Sholchulei L'marukva. So we're going backwards. Zimra Minolon the Asar. They sent Marukva the following question. How do you know that it's Asar today to play music? Rashi said, L'shoyre b'beis ha-mishtoyis. That if you're at a beis ha-mishtah, you're at a banquet, you're at a dinner, it's also to sit down and eat if they're playing music while you're eating. So the Gemara said, Sirtet v'kosav luhu. He wrote Sirtut and he gave an answer. The Pasuk says, Al kismach Yisrael el gil ka'amim. So the Gemara said, why do you have to quote that Pasuk? There's another Pasuk, B'shul ha-yishtu yayin. Says the Gemara, Ima hu hava mina hanami lezimra demana. I would have thought that it's only aser if you're playing music with an instrument, abu de puma, but just to sing without an instrument, a cappella style. Shari, Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, that even that is going to be Osir as well. So you have a Gemara, Gittin, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, where the Gemara said that it is Osir to sit at a Beis HaMishtah if there's going to be music playing. And the Gemara said there's two psukim, and from the two psukim we learn that not only is it Osir if you're playing instruments as a band, but even if people are just singing, all it is Zimra de Puma. Even then, it's going to be aser. Two psukim to teach me whether it's b'mana or whether it's b'puma. Now, the truth is, we had this halacha at the very end of Masechta Soita as well. Mishnah, Masechta Soita, Daf Memches Amud Aleph. Mishabotlo Sanhedrin, Botol Hashir Bebeis HaMishtois. Shenemar B'shila Yishtu Yayin. It's really a Mishnah. And that Mishnah there says as well that somehow around the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, Mishabotlo Sanhedrin, which just from a historical perspective was 40 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, Botol Hashir Bebeis HaMishtois. Chachamim made a takona, no music at a Beis HaMishtah. So it's a Mishnah, Soita Daf Memches Amud Aleph. It's a Gemara that clarifies it a little bit better here, Gittin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Beis HaMishtah, music is aser, whether it's going to be music with an instrument or you're just going to sing the music. There's a very important Tosfos on this Gemara. Tosfos says, Pirish B'Kuntres, L'Shoyer B'Beis HaMishtois, V'Chein Mashma, and he quotes the Mishnah over here in Soita, Daf Memches Amar Aleph, says Tosfos, that although the Mishnah in Soita says Mefurish, Beis HaMishtois, and that was Rashi's comment on this Gemara based on that Mishnah, but Beis HaMishtah is Lav Dafka, but rather, V'Roi L'Hachmer B'Kiyotze, anything that's going to be a little similar to a Beis HaMishtah, you should be Machmer. How do you define a situation that's similar to a Beis HaMishtah? So Rashi says, Bezimro Shem Mesanik B'Yotzer, that any time a person has just a lot, you sit down, you have a steak, you have a Merlot, or a Cabernet, and you have somebody playing the violin in the background, you're Misanik B'Yoyser. So to the extent that you're Misanik B'Yoyser, it's going to be also Mismanazer. But it's not based on Mishta Dafka, but anytime you're Misanik B'Yoyser. And it's based on that the place can say, if you're someone that really, you wake up to music in the morning, or go to sleep listening to music, or you're someone that particularly enjoys music, you have to be more machmer, because for you, you're a Masonic B'yoseh. Then Taisa speaks out a very important caveat, v'shir shal mitzvah shari. This is only if it's not b'mokin mitzvah. But let's say it's a shir shal mitzvah, so you're sitting down to a meal for mitzvah reasons, kigoyin. B'shas chuppah, sh'oisim l'sameh chas mekalo. There, the halacha is not going to apply. So two halachas in Tosfos. Number one, Beis HaMishtah is Lav Dafka. Anytime you're Masonic B'yoseh, this halacha is going to be true. And number two, it's only if it's a Dover Shor Rishos. But if it's a Dover Shor Mitzvah, then the halacha is going to be different. This Tosfos Shita is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tof Kuf Samach. It's the Shita of the Ramah. But the truth is, there are really three Shitas in the Rishonim. Tosfos is only one Shita. The second Shita is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam in Yad Chazaka, who the Mechaber, as he often does, Paskins like, the Rambam Shita is that, is it Aser, Dafka Bebeis HaMishtah, or Lav Dafka? Says the Rambam, it depends on whether we're talking about Zimra de Mana, or are we talking about Zimra de Puma? Zimra de Mana, if you're playing an instrument, it's more chamor. Being that it's more chamor, it's not only going to be aser bebeis hamishnah. Even shaloi bebeis hamishnah, kol shem esanik b'yoser, is going to be aser. Zimra de Puma, which is less chamor, there it's, like Tosfos said, there it's going to be aser only b'shas hamishnah. The third sheet is the Rambam and the Tshuva. The Rambam and the Tshuva said, beis hamishnah is lav dafka. It's true. What then is the halacha? The halacha is, music is always aser. Not misanik b'yoser, not waking up in the morning, not if you're someone that enjoys music, and it doesn't matter if you're playing music or if you're just singing. Misha Bakla Sanhedrin, Batal Hashir mi Beis HaMishtoi, says the Rambam in the Tshuva, Beis HaMishtoi is Lav Dafka. Put those words in parentheses. Misha Bakla Sanhedrin, Batal Hashir. No music bizman hazeh. So it's three sheetahs. Halacha l'maisa, the Beis Yosef Paskin is like the Rambam, as he often does, in Yad Chazaka, which is that if you're playing music, then it's aser as long as it's similar to a Beis HaMishtah. If you're just singing, then it's only aser by Beis HaMishtah. There are more Paskins like Tosfos, where Tosfos says that the chilek is not singing versus music, but anything that's similar to a Beis HaMishtah is always going to be aser. If it's not similar to a Beis HaMishtah, then it's going to be mutter. The Bach brings the Rambam and the Tshuva, and the Bach says the halacha is like the Rambam in the Tshuva. No music bizman hazeh. So I'll just tell you one interesting Tshuva from Rav Moshe. So people like to quote Rav Moshe's kulos, but I'm going to tell you a Tshuva from Rav Moshe where you'll tell me what Rav Moshe's shita was. So it's in Eirach Chaim, Chelak Aleph, Simen Kuf Samach Vav, Be'inyin Isser Zimra bizman hazeh. This is an early Tshuva. Tov Shin Yud Ches. That's 1958. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva about music bizman hazeh la'acha churban beis hamikdash. So he brings the three shitas in the Rishonim, just three chumras that Rav Moshe says in this tshuva. He says, number one, vaday me haroi lebal nefesh la'achmir keharambam de tshuvasa. He says, it's poshet that somebody in the bal nefesh should be machmir like the Rambam in the tshuva, v'habach posak kavosei. And even the Bach pasuk that way. It's interesting, the Moshe adds, afshir rayosei, in a klum, even though he doesn't like the Bach's ray of why he paskin that way, mikomokom roi la'achmir. That's chumra number one. Chumra number two, Rav Moshe says, that's poshet that if you're sitting at a beis hamishtah, and they're playing live music, it's poshet, it's us. There's no one in the world that holds its mutter. Beis HaMishtah, that's the Iker Halacha. The question is, if it's not a Beis HaMishtah, it's only similar to a Beis HaMishtah. But the Beis HaMishtah music is always going to be aser. There's no shayla in the world. The only time it's mutter, if it's l'mitzvah. What was Tosfos' example of a mitzvah? B'shas Chuppah. So, Rav Moshe here in the Tshuva has a suffix. Aval ha-banquets, or what we would maybe recall 50 years later, dinners. Sha'oisim l'tzorich tztaka. Or a parlor meeting, or a yeshiva dinner, something of that nature. Misupkani, I'm not sure if Mubachlal had the Dvar Mitzvah. Is that considered Dvar Mitzvah or not? Me'acha sha suda vasimcha ain't a mitzvah be'etzim. It's not a suda's mitzvah. Rak shu lesef al yedei zeh harbe anoshin. The idea is to gather a lot of people and a lot of money for that matter. She is nadvo. Abel efshe yesh lahachshiv shu l'dvar mitzvah. Maybe you could refer to it as a Dvar Mitzvah. Kivan shuhu be'kovid mekai me mitzvah stokoh. Because you are being mechabed, the people that are in attendance, and everyone was there, and I had to take out a full page, $600. So these are all mekayme mitzvah stokah. So there's an element of mitzvah over here. V'lochein toiv lahachmer, says Rav Moshe, halacha l'maisa, you should be machmer im efshir, ve'en limchoiz be'elu ha'makilim. But you don't have to make a makot the next yeshiva dinner. So that's Rav Moshe's psak. So Rav Moshe wasn't sure if a parlor meeting or something like that would be considered a dvar mitzvah. Rav Moshe's netiyah is to be machmer. Chumra number two. Chumra number three, v'yidei ha-radio, im nishma zimro de puma, mutter, v'im beklizemer oser. So Rav Moshe then was asked, what about if you're here listening to a tape? Now Rav Moshe, this is 1958, where you're talking about, not sure what kind of technology you had in 1958, but there certainly wasn't MP4 high-quality recordings like we have today. And even then, Rav Moshe, it's awesome. It doesn't make a difference. So if it's going to be Mana de Zimra, it's going to be awesome. So either way, you have three chumras right here from Hagoyin, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechut Tzadik, V'kodosh L'vracha, and this sugya regarding Zimra Bizman Hazeh, whether it's going to be Aser or Mutter. Rav Moshe was machmer, he felt that a Baal Nefesh should take on the sheet of the Rambam in the Tshuva, that it's always going to be Aser. Number two, when you talk about what the definition of a Suda's mitzvah is, just because something's a Goyrim, Legoyrim, Legoyrim of a mitzvah, Rav Moshe wasn't so comfortable with that. He felt Mi'ikra Din, it has to be a Suda's mitzvah. The first example is a Chasuna. That's a classic Suda's mitzvah, but something that's just a gram of a Suda's mitzvah, maybe not. And then finally, Rav Moshe says that the radio or a tape or a cassette, a record player or whatever exactly it is you have bisman hazeh, there you'd be machmer as well. Just wanted to conclude with one final ha'ara, and that is, so today's of course Asar B'Teves, that's what we spoke this out, because this halach is brought down in Simon Tov Kuf Samach in Shulchan Aruch, where the Mechaber discusses, just that title is lastly Zeichel Lechurban. This is of course Zeichel Lechurban Mishur Bantos and Hedgen. But why do we fast Asar B'Teves? So the Pashat reason is Samach Melech Bavel. That's when Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Melech Bavel, he laid siege on Yerushalayim. That was the first step, the beginning of Korban Beis HaMikdash. But we're going to say this morning in Slichos that there's really three reasons that we fast Asar B'Teves. On Ches Teves, the Torah was translated into Greek. The Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, says that Talmai HaMelech, this was Talmai II, also known as Talmai Philadelphus. Talmai II, who was an Egyptian Greek king, he summoned 70 tzaddikim, some say it was the Sanhedrin, he brought them into Mitzrayim and he forced them to translate the Torah into Greek. And when that happened, it was considered a very bad day in Jewish history. And Chazal say, whether it's literal or whether it's metaphorical, there were 3 days of choshech that descended upon the world. This all happened on Ches Teves. You have Ches Teves, Tes Teves, and Yud Teves. So Asar B'Teves was the 3rd day of the 3 days of Choshech that descended upon the world when Talmai HaMelech forced the Yidden into translating the Torah. The second reason we fast Asar B'Teves is because Ezra HaSofer was Nifter on Tes Teves. Ezra HaSofer's yahrzeit is Tes Teves, and of course Asar B'Teves was Samach Melech Bavel. So there's 3 reasons, that's what we mentioned in the Slichos, for why we fast Asar B'Teves. I just had one machshava. We just finished celebrating the Yontav of Chanukah. What's Chanukah all about? It's a Nitzochin Keneged Yevanim. We defeated the Greeks. Most people, or many people, still have their menorah standing, you know, at their front windows. They didn't even put it away yet. Chanukah, it's still fresh in our minds. So we celebrated Al HaNisim V'Al HaPorkon for 8 days on Nitzochin Keneged Yevanim. Right after Chanukah, literally a week or two later, we're going backwards, and now we're going to start fasting and mourning the fact that the Greeks influenced our culture, and we were forced to translate the Torah into Greek, and there were 3 days of Choshech. It just seems to be a little anticlimactic. Let us enjoy the up a little bit. Enjoy the moment. It's as if after Pesach, right away, you would sit down and start remembering Avodim Moyinu V'Amaru Eschayim. We just finished Yantiv. Chai Avodim Liris Esatzman. We feel great. We just left Mitzrayim. Why are we going backwards? But I think the Machshav is very simple. I think the Machshav is that the Nitzachin Kenegedi Yevanim wasn't like other Nitzchinus that we've had in our history, where we defeated Yevanim, put it in the books, and now we can go on, we're done with them. That's not the way it is. But rather, it was a temporary victory that we had. But the influence of the Yevanim is something that continues to torment the Yidden throughout the generations. And whether it's the Yevanim, or 100 or so years later, it was the Romans, or whether it was, wherever it was, the Yidden living a Western culture today, the Nechama Keneged Yevanim is the culture that is pervasive at any given time. And I think that's the message. The message is that Taka, there was a Chanukah, and we get to celebrate for 8 days, Al HaNisim V'Al HaPorkon. But we have to remember the story of Chanukah was a story of us winning the battle, but the war continues to rage on. And that's why right after Chanukah, you have to go right back to the drawing board. Nachamol, Gimel Yom of Choshech, we fast Asar B'Teves, we acknowledge the threat that continues. You have a moment to celebrate, but right away you have to get back, not to lose focus.